When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Don't forget, Brian Robinson will join us coming up at 9 a.m. So you want to continue listening. Right now, we're joined by Charles Davis, analyst for the NFL on CBS. He called Steelers Commanders this past weekend. Charles, thanks for the time, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so you got to watch Jaden Daniels in person. Not his best game, 17 of 34, 202 yards, averaged about 6 yards per attempt, but he's raised the expectations and level of quarterback play here, where we look at that and we're like, "Yeah, we're expecting more." But he didn't have like the Jared Goff catastrophic game. He wasn't Sam Darnold throwing picks left and right. And we're all kind of just still amazed how good he is at taking care of the ball. You know, 10 games into his rookie campaign, it's pretty impressive.
It really is, and I think that you've hit on the major parts of why. The enthusiasm should remain, because you already said it. He set a standard already in a bar in a very short amount of time that a day like Sunday, we all kind of go, right? And that's kind of, for a rookie quarterback, that's supposed to be a good day. Mm-hmm. And had his team in position to win. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that keeps impressing me about him, you hit on it, and it's a major theme of what's been a part of Washington's success this year, because Dan Quinn came from a place, and I'm going to use Seattle as the major influence because of Pete Carroll, where the term "it's all about the ball" was kind of, you know, became really popular during that Legion of Boom, you know, Seahawks time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, of course, has turned it into "ball is life" for his, you know, iteration here with Washington, which is very smart. You have your own, but you know where the roots are. But this kid comes from two programs, Arizona State, LSU, where valuing the ball was beaten into him by all of his people, right? His quarterback coaches, his head coaches, everyone else, plus his own natural instincts and inclination. But I just watched Sunday, and I'm going to stop here. There were a number of plays that go onto the sheet, right? They go into the play-by-play, and you look at them and go, you know, it's just a nothing play. It was a veteran play, mm-hmm. him grounding the ball so that there's no interception, right? Mm-hmm. Him taking the sack and making sure he's holding on to it with two hands. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. He does some veteran stuff that is just off the charts and probably doesn't get enough attention just for that.
What was your take on the 4th and 9 when Zach Ertz caught the ball and he he was probably a half a football short?
Yeah.
I can't remember what you said during the broadcast. When I eyeballed it, it looked like he did have the first down, but obviously they had to review it.
Yeah, and I think that's what hit us. I mean, I'll just speak for myself. I don't want to put words in Ian's mouth or Evan's mouth, but I thought when he caught the ball, because I don't know if you remember, we went on after we covered it, you know, almost ad nauseum on the front end, right? We went on, and then we came back and brought Gene Steratore into it.
Yeah.
And I asked Gene, did he have the first down and then lose it as he started to make his move? I mean, I wanted to know, like, did he catch it? But because he was still moving, you don't get the full extension of it. Because you know what it's like. You get full extension of the play if it's a catch and a tackle right on the spot, and then he drives you back. You get forward progress. But when you catch it and you make that football move or move, you know, as part of the game, whatever that terminology we use, it sometimes sounds real highfalutin. But when you catch it and turn and make your move, did he catch it over the line, make his move and move his way back? And then there's the tackle from KZ and then from Fitzpatrick. That's why I wanted to ask Gene. And Gene thought that he didn't have it. Mm-hmm. See, when I thought he caught it from the first angle I saw, And again, the line was unofficial. I thought it was there. I thought he was going to get the first down. And I have not reviewed that part of the tape, but I would not be surprised if you heard my voice say, I think he got it.
Yeah, I think you did
say that. That was my first impression, was I thought he had it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then as you went on, I couldn't conclusively say he had it, and I couldn't conclusively say he didn't have it. And you guys know by NFL standards, and it's the right thing, what is the call on the field? That's your standard now. And you have to prove conclusively opposite that to change the call.
Charles, I'm wondering your impressions on the other side of the Steelers. When I look at the AFC, KC's undefeated. I look at the Ravens. I look at the Bills. I don't have the Steelers up there for some reason, but this switch to Russell Wilson has definitely helped them.
Yeah, it certainly has helped them, and I don't know how you guys felt, but I think there was a great feeling of you're 4-2, and you're going to keep growing with Fields. And our impression of Russell Wilson coming from Denver probably wasn't the most favorable. So I think there was a lot of consternation about that move being made. And you remember week one, they won, and remember Mike Tomlin's famous, you know, coach, wow, that took some guts to make that move. That's why I'm well compensated. You know, and since that time, they've gotten better. And what's interesting is we just talked about Jaden and his numbers weren't the best that he's had this year. Neither were Russell's.
No.
But both of them came out of that game, in my opinion, showing why they are good, great quarterbacks. Because Russell, yeah, the numbers were about, what, 50% throwing, apparently? I have to go back
he
and look.
He was 50%, maybe a little bit above. That's right.
Yeah, you're right.
50%.
Yep.
But three touchdown passes, and that the last touchdown pass to Williams was a 3rd and 9. Okay?
And he was
the
pressured.
And pressured, and he put it in the spot for his receiver. That wasn't a 50-50 ball.
Mm-mm.
That was a Mike Williams ball, and if Mike didn't catch it, no one else was catching it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a heck of a throw. Jaden on that throw he made to McLaurin over Porter,
mm-hmm.
That wasn't a 50-50 ball. That was a Terry McLaurin ball or no one's. Those are the types of throws that tell me about these guys, and we get to see them in evidence. But Wilson has a presence with this team where this is the Russell Wilson that we knew in Seattle. And I've been telling people, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think I'm right on this one. First year in Denver was not anything close to what we thought it was going to be. I thought he was too big. He couldn't get away from people. He's now let us know that there was an injury there that I had to play through that, which is kind of a normal thing. But last year, everyone acts like that was an abject disaster. It wasn't. Go back and look. They had like a 5-game winning streak. They're in playoff contention. If he takes them on the last drive in Houston, the interception in the end zone ends the game. So they have a chance to win in Houston. And if so, they're in great position. And he goes 26 touchdowns, like 8 interceptions. The bottom line is Sean Payton just didn't want to be his quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's bottom line. Like, who are we kidding, right? He wanted his own guy. And so when he had the opportunity to berate Russ on the sidelines in that Detroit game on Saturday, let the world know he's not my guy, those are the impressions you take with you. Him in Pittsburgh, he's got a veteran presence. We talked to a couple of the Steelers guys. They are thrilled that he's their quarterback, and they like that veteran leadership. They like that savvy and the things that he does that maybe didn't work somewhere else. He's hit the right spot for himself.
Charles, let's get back to my guys, the Commanders. Prepping for that game, after watching it play out, knowing that Jaden's got a little something he's dealing with his ribs, who knows how it's affecting his legs, whatever. The injuries they have on the offensive line, you know, what they have defensively. They got Lattimore. They got help coming. Maybe not this week, but coming. How good can this team be? Like, are they legitimate playoff contenders? Are they legitimate NFC East contenders? Did the Steelers expose us in any way?
I don't think they exposed you. If anything, to me, they elevated you. Because the impression going into it was, we really like this Washington team. We like the spirit about them. We love DQ. Like, who doesn't love DQ, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't love DQ, I worry about you, right? So, you know, you like what they're doing and all, and you realize that the numbers don't always hold up compared to what we're seeing, but you like this team and you love the quarterback. But the teams that you have beaten, and what's interesting is Chicago quickly went from wow, that's a heck of a win, to, hey, what's going on with Chicago?
Yeah.
But I have to keep cautioning people. When they played Chicago, that was a legitimate deal. So don't take that away from them. All right? They found a way to win against a good defense and a team that was playing pretty well at the time, and they kept their rookie quarterback from breaking out. But Pittsburgh, you guys know as well as I do, to use one of those often used, too frequently used analogies, now you're playing Pittsburgh, so now you're going up in weight class.
Mm-hmm.
They did, and they punched right with them. Now, stats will tell you that Pittsburgh controlled a lot of the game, but at one point we were looking at a Washington team that had come from behind and was up 10 in the second half. So don't tell me they weren't right there and ready to roll, and they were. To me, this is one of those like Baltimore. They punched up in weight class, came away from it, not happy with how they did for a moral win, but mad that their opportunities got away. And if you just keep staying in there with those, the breakthrough will happen. This team is going to happen. They still need to add some elements. They still need a few other things. But they are well on their track. So bottom line to me this season, looking at the NFC East, this is a playoff contending team. And Thursday night, guys, let's not undersell Thursday night. It's a monster game.
Yes.
Talking to Charles Davis, analyst for the NFL on CBS. Wanted to bounce around the league with you a little bit. So one of the big stories this week is what Micah Parsons said about his head coach after the game. He said something like, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants. What did you make of that? Did he cross the line? What did Charles Davis think?
I thought that Micah Parsons was saying it's different for a player than it is for a coach. The problem is they're in a position where, as you know, every word is parsed in Dallas when it comes to the Cowboys. And at that situation, you can take it in whatever direction you want. And because the Cowboys are spiraling, very easy to go straight to, you know, as Vince Vaughn would say, right to negative town. And that's where we would go. And it's understandable. They're in bad shape. The coach is in major trouble. Who are we kidding, right? This team had high expectations. They're not going to be met. Their quarterback's gone. Everything goes. But what he's saying is very simply this. A coach can, you know, we put all this time, effort, blood, sweat, and tears, and we play on the field. He's talking player perspective. Coaches can go on and do this, this, and this. He's really trying to take care of his teammates. But in doing so, let's be honest about it. Mike McCarthy caught a stray. But this wouldn't have been much of a stray if Dallas was 8-2.
Very good point. Chiefs play the Bills this week. The Chiefs have been, I don't know if you say fortunate because they're finding ways to win, but they block a field goal, 35-yard field goal to get to 9-0. And, you know, is this a bigger game for the Bills or for the Chiefs, you think?
I love the word you used in fortunate, because they are somewhat fortunate. Okay, now they also have a presence of a championship team that finds ways to win, so let's not take that away from them.
Mm-hmm.
But there is fortune to it. Look, I was up this morning, crazy early this morning, trying to get some studying done, right? Because this brain doesn't operate very easily. And there was some stat that I can't quote to you, but you'll see it at some point this week if you analyze any Chiefs stuff. There have been, let's just use for argument's sake, there have been 100 games where a field goal attempt of 35 yards or less to win a ball game is about to happen, and this is the first time one's been blocked. So your use of fortunate is spot on, right? Did they make a winning play? They absolutely did. But how often does that play happen, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're talking about. They find ways. Out of their 9 wins this year, 7 of them, they have come from behind. Kansas City. This is who they are right now. Because you're getting everyone's best shot every week. You're the 2-time defending champs. As you go deeper into your run, you know your games get tighter. Like, if you check any run, go back and check anyone and call me. Check the Steelers when they were the steel curtain, right? Check Washington when they were at their peak under Joe Gibbs. Check all of them. The deeper you get into your run, year after year, your games get tighter. Because your key players get older that stay with you, other people add elements, and they play their you-know-what's off against you. To answer your question directly, this game is bigger for Buffalo. because they have not solved Kansas City.
Yeah.
They've been there how many times? The 13-second game, Tyler Bass missed field goal in the playoffs. Because remember last year, oh, now you're coming to our place finally. And then you don't get it done then with probably a team as good or better. So this is, to me, this is Buffalo. I think Troy Aikman said on air last night, like, Joe Buck kept selling the game, and every time Troy would say something, drop in a line like, yeah, Buffalo's got to solve Kansas City. Yeah, it gives Buffalo a chance to beat Kansas City. That's what this game is about on Sunday. And to me, no better shot, Buffalo. This is a lot of wins in a row for Kansas City that have come down to the wire. Tampa Bay in overtime. Block a field goal this week. 7 of 9 come from behind. You get them in Buffalo. I said it last year in the playoffs. I'm going to repeat the same line. Hey, Buffalo, if not now, when?
Yeah, and then like you said, this is huge for head-to-head too. Real quick, are you doing the Ravens-Steelers game?
We are doing the Ravens Steelers game. Yeah, we get to watch that heavyweight brawl.
That's
going to
be a big one. Real quick, got about a minute left here. Your thoughts on that matchup?
Look, it's a very strange one because it feels like the normal Pittsburgh-Baltimore matchup, but our eyes are cast towards Baltimore's defense because we're not quite sure what's going on there. You know, play like a Raven Baltimore defense is something that you roll out of bed and it's like, you know, death taxes. Ravens go play good defense. They haven't. And that's been a very strange thing to watch. And they keep trying to fix it, plug it, all that. That'll be interesting. And it used to be, hey, Pittsburgh can't get any type of a shootout game. If they do, they're dead. I don't know that they're dead now with Russell Wilson at quarterback. So this is going to be a very interesting deal to see how this one plays out. Because I think it may play out just a little bit differently than we're used to with Baltimore-Pittsburgh.
Charles, thanks as always for the time, man. Enjoy Ravens Steelers. We'll have you on again soon. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, I look forward to a continued success to you guys and enjoy Thursday night. I'm telling you, that may be the most watched game of the year because I think people who watch the NFL have figured out just how big a game that's going to be Thursday.
Yep, should be a fun one. Yep. Thanks again, Charles.
Thank you, buddy.
Be good, guys.
Yeah, you too, pal.
Just to add to something that Charles said, the Chiefs have won 4 games in walk-off version this year. Mm-hmm. 4 times.
I mean, it has to end at some point.
Ravens in week 1.
Right.
That's the Isaiah Likely toe, right? Cincinnati Bengals in week 2. He mentioned the Buccaneers, which is an overtime game. And this is the 4th time that they've won a game on the last play.
They're catching the breaks.
Yep. They certainly are.
And this is a big one in Buffalo this week.
Bank local, cheer local. In business, every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.